pledge. Dear Lord, we come to you this hour asking for your blessing and help as we gather together. We pray for guidance in the matters at hand and ask that you would clearly show us how to conduct our work with professionalism, a spirit of joy and enthusiasm. Give us the desire to find ways to excel in our work that we have been elected to do. Help us work together and encourage each other and our community to excellence. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The City of Kirby is dedicated to delivering excellent municipal services to our community in a fiscally responsible manner. City Secretary, please call roll.
Mayor Pro Tem Grant.
Here.
Councilmember Abadaka.
Here.
Councilmember Salazar.
Here.
Councilmember Ryder.
Here.
Councilmember Street.
Here.
Councilmember Martin.
Here.
Mayor Aldridge.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you. After the citizen participation portion of this meeting is over, there will be no comments or outbursts from the audience. If you have signed up to speak on an agenda item, you will have your 3 minutes to speak at that time. Again, I say this to be clear and let this stand as the first warning. Any comments or outbursts from the audience after the citizen participation portion of this meeting is over, they will be escorted out of the building. Open up 5, citizen participation. Patricia Mann.
Hello, Madam Mayor, council members. I'm just here to advocate for Officer Jake. He is an officer, and right now he doesn't have a partner. If he was a human being, we wouldn't just put him out, send him somewhere else, or sell him. We would find him a partner. Right now, he's a guy without a job. But let me tell you, if that dog is taken away from this community and put somewhere else, you're taking him out of his territory. He knows all the policemen by smell. He knows this area that they patrol. I'm just here just to give my thoughts on this beautiful animal that would give his life for any one of us if we needed him. I hope you take into consideration that he might need more training or retraining, and we might have to get somebody, another police officer, to work with him. And I, for one, would be willing to look at the different ways that we could get that money. And I just wanted my thoughts to be known. Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Mann. Next in line is Mr. Shaw.
Senate Council, board members, and all you guys on the other side of the fence. I really appreciate seeing all these masks, but I think we need to put a sign back on the door. I know we're backsliding, but we're not backsliding. We just have a new virus coming on. Until we get rid of these viruses, the mask will help protect us, even though a lot of us already got their shots, and a lot of the people do not want to take the shots. They're negative about it, and that helps transmit it from one to the other. And just because we got our shots does not mean we're heroes. That doesn't mean we're Superman. We can catch it, and I sure don't want it. I don't want none of you all to catch it. So I'm suggesting put a sign back on the door. Anybody coming in here must wear a mask completely, not just covering their mouth, covering their nose. Wear it correctly. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shaw. Next up, we have Mayor Pierce.
Mayor, Council, my name is Lisa Pierce. I reside at 5123 Happiness.
and I am here on behalf of the agenda item 6A for K-9 Jake. Those of you that know me know that our K-9 program is very near and dear to my heart. It's one of the ones that myself and John actually pushed for in the city in 2017, and you know the council agreed, and we put it into place in 2018. The very first year that we were in the program, at the end of the year of 2018, I knew that the program was in trouble. I'm not a professional dog trainer. However, I am very close to what canine programs are, what the breed is, etc. Jake is an amazing animal, and just as Pat said, he is an officer of the city. Our officers should not be afraid of Jake. So there are a lot of training issues prior to that. Jake is a member of our police force, but Jake also needs a partner, as Ms. Mann said. Jake is not getting the training that Jake needs either. I don't know if Jake is neurotic at this point, but he has not had the training, nor has he been worked the way he needs to be worked. That dog needs to be searching for drugs. That dog needs to be searching for suspects. He needs to be worked. Gyra K-9 program offers training every Tuesday free of charge to the city. It's something that wasn't being taken advantage of. There were some other things that I won't disclose only because they were intimate to me just because of the position I held, and I will absolutely not say any of those things at this time or any other time for that matter. If we lose the program, we probably, most likely, will never get the program back. I think the program is crucial. However, that dog and what he's going through is even more crucial to me. It is almost cruel and unusual punishment for that dog to be sitting in a kennel and to be a pet. That dog is not a pet. That dog can be a lap dog, absolutely. I have lap dogs, but my dogs are not trained for bite work. My dogs are not trained to apprehend suspects. My dogs all the time they have a huge ball drive, they play ball in the yard, etc. We take them for walks, but not to that drive. That dog has a drive, and if he does not have somebody, a partner, somebody that's with him all the time, exceeding those requirements that he does, he is not going to be a useful dog, and in fact, he will suffer himself for that. It would be just like somebody else doing something, and then all of a sudden it be taken away from him. And that's what it is. He could live out a life as a pet, absolutely. But for him just to be... Sorry. I just think that we just need to absolutely keep it. So anyway, I would rather see the program go away than Jake be wasted.
Thank you. A, discussion of possible action on City of Kirby K-9 program.
Okay. So let me just start with a little bit of a historic overview. You have two sheets of paper on the Kirby Police Department K-9 program. And the first sheet is a breakdown of costs from Gyra K-9 Training Office. We reached out to them recently because, as we know, we initially started our program in 2018. The original handler who was trained to work with Jake left the program, stayed with the City of Kirby and left the program. He then left the City of Kirby. Then we got him a second handler who we know recently left the City of Kirby about 2 weeks ago. So Jake had been in the care of that company for about a week. Interim Chief Cardona got him as of yesterday, and so she is now taking care of him until we make a decision about what's going to happen with our program. She's not had an opportunity to be trained to do that. It's been a real crash course in just trying to, basic needs for him. But the company, they would charge, if we wanted to board him, they would take him for up to 20 days. For $2,500, and that's a breakdown of what those expenses cover. It's boarding and training, it's canine maintenance, it's kennel care, dog food, feeding, watering, and then just their daily rate. And 20 days is that maximum time that they would do that. And that's for either option. If we wanted them to keep him while we were looking for another officer to take the program, they would charge that. If we wanted them to keep him while they assist us with trying to find another agency to transition Jake to or another handler to transition him to, either way, those are our options. And then if we secure another handler for him, then you pay an additional $2,500 for initial training for that handler and Jake to work together.
So no matter whatever direction we go, we're automatically going to pay $2,500.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
And then another $2,500 for retraining.
Correct.
$2,500.
Right. And it's just going to be your starting fee, your basic, yes. And then I want to give you just an idea of what we've spent since we got the program. So the other page that you have is a breakdown of each fiscal year. So the top half shows you all of the city expenses. So if you see in the first fiscal year, it was a total of $29,482.93. Then in the next year, which was 18-19, we spent $2,665.47. In 19-20, we spent $684.75. And so far this fiscal year, we spent $1,381. So a total of city funds that have gone into the K-9 program has been $34,214.15. Now, you'll see a line item there that the last one that says promotions for Jake and then collections from promotions. If some of you may remember, we sold some cups and some T-shirts to community members. So it showed you, you know, what we spent and then what we collected on those promotional items. Then if you look at the second half of the page, it shows you the breakdown of the crime control monies that have gone into the program. So they didn't spend any money the first two fiscal years. The second one, they spent $4,650.44. And as of now in this current fiscal year, they've spent $2,067.39. So a total of $6,717.83 has been spent by crime control. So total monies, you'll see, has been over $40,000, you know, invested into our K-9 program. And, you know, that included, like I say, it breaks down several things. It includes the training. Unfortunately, there's been some downtime because our most recent handler that left did have a work-related injury several months ago. So both him and K-9 Jake were on what we call light duty, where they were not able to be out actively working. So there has been some lag time there in Jake being able to go out and actively train and actively work. So, you know, unfortunately, we couldn't control that situation. So we're at a point now where if we keep the program, he needs a handler that is going to stay with him. And they both need to be able to actively work and actively train. And, you know, for me, that's heartbreaking because the program just started in 2018. And for him to have to go to his third handler in that short of a time period cannot be healthy, you know, and that's not what I do. So that's, but just knowing animals in general, and again, him being a trained officer, so I'm concerned about, you know, his health and his well-being. I think the idea was wonderful for us to be able to have a canine. The purpose of doing it was excellent. It's just that we have such a high turnover in our police department that it'd be very difficult for us to get a handler who can stay with him, and really it should be a minimum 5-year program. And unfortunately, we're not able to contractually obligate employees, with the exception of ones that work directly for the city manager like myself. No other employee from a legal standpoint can be contractually obligated to the city. So these are, you know, just some things for us to take into consideration. And I wanted to put this on the special agenda tonight because I cannot expect Interim Chief Cardona to continue to take Jake home without having been trained to do that. So we really need to make a decision of how we're going to go forward.
Well, my feelings, I don't want to lose our K-9 program. I think our K-9 program has been very productive for our city. I understand about, you know, the turnover of handlers. I still want to try getting him a handler. And maybe we can look at maybe raising the pay of the officer that handles Jake to compensate him some more, to entice them to stay. But I do not want to see this canine program end. And that's just my personal feeling. I understand that it's going to take some time and money to retrain Jake and retrain an officer. I would be willing to do that to keep our canine program.
Well, the bad thing is, Jake is a two-channel dog. He's a drug dog, and he's what they call a biter or an attack. All these dogs, whether you know it or not, they're trained to command in German. Every time they change handlers, unless that person is fluent in German and has spoken it for some time, the inflections, when they give commands, it gets the dog off. It gets the dog confused and excited. And unfortunately, that happened Tuesday night. These dogs are bred to serve and to please. That is their whole object. That's why their Malamoys are some of the best ones they have. The bad thing is, if you raise the pay for one officer for this, then you're going to have a whole... We lose them fast enough as it is. You're going to find out that that's going to cause more problems in the ranks when you make that exception. I mean, I hate to tell you that, but that's just the way it is. I have a good friend, and I'm sure that this is not going to impress anybody, but his name is Garland Gaston. And Garland was the very first officer in the San Antonio Police Department to be a dog man. And we were in the Boy Scouts together. I've known him forever. And we're both the same age, and he still works for McClellan County. And I had a conversation with him today on the phone. He told me that the most disservice that you can have to this animal or any other is to continue to change the trainer. Because every time that happens, you have to understand just how intense the, I think it's 21 days, I forget what it is now, that they go through to where the handler and that dog have to get on the same page immediately. And that dog has to understand when that handler gives a direction in German that the dog instantly reacts to it. And there are so many variables in there. And the one that bothers me the most, unfortunately, is if he puts the dog in an attack mode, is calling that animal off and getting it correct so that animal... That's a horrible liability, but you cannot believe how many departments get sued every year for a dog overreacting because just certain things happen. Too many people are yelling. Too much noise is going on. This animal is exceptional. He's a really absolutely good dog, and he is a value to this community, and it's a really hard decision. All I'm doing is putting what I know and what I spoke to a handler with over 40 years' experience. How we make your decision is up to everybody sitting up here, okay? I really don't want to lose Jake. I truthfully don't. But what bothers me is this is going to be his third handler in 3 years. And he hasn't been worked since November at all. In fact, he's overweight a little bit. And he's a beautiful animal. We've got a lot invested in him. I would hate to lose him. But also, you've got to think about this. You know, I know this sounds like it's getting awful deep in here, and I understand that. But Garland told me that a dog can become frustrated and neurotic. And after a while, they just reject any and all handlers. They just, that's it. They don't play well with people anymore. And, you know, and I wish that there was a way to contract a person to come in and at least give us 3 years, if not five. Because when I was with San Antonio, I've watched some of those animals work. They had a Rottweiler, was 125 pounds, named Rambo, that I saw grab a guy by the shoulder and drag him about 40 feet.
Jake would, as you say, would give his life for somebody. He is trained. He would do whatever it takes to protect his handler. That's how he's trained. But it's a hard decision. It's really hard. And like I say, I don't want to make a decision at the moment until everybody has their say. I'm just putting out there what I was told today by a very experienced person. And the end of the conversation was, if you decide to keep him, understand that a third handler is pretty tough on an animal. And they're going to have to really, that whoever would commit to it is going to have to commit 24/7, 365. And we haven't had that for this animal for, what, November, December, January, February, March, 7 months. So he's going to be a fresh animal, so to speak. But whatever we do, let's keep in mind that we're talking about still an officer that would serve this community to the end, just like any officer would. And I just want the best for that animal. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilmember Grant. Anyone else? Mr. Martin? Sorry, Councilmember Martin.
I've got a question for the Lieutenant. Do we have a candidate?
Sir?
Do we have a candidate that was will volunteer to take care of this dog?
I'm going to approach. If everyone would just stay really calm, don't make sudden movements. He will lie when he gets it off, he's not going to hurt, he will just feel pushed. Don't look at him in the eye.
Don't challenge you.
Okay. There was an expressed interest, yes. However, after a very hearty talk about commitment, it was not something he could provide.
Okay, that's, I hate to hear that because I think he's the one that really needs him, you know, on night shift. But like Grant, everybody said, he's a valuable part to this community. No, it doesn't matter where he goes, he's going to have another handler, whether it's with us or somebody else. He's gonna, like you said, he's going to be retrained again. I just see him as a valuable part to our police department, and I hate to see him go, you know.
Do you have anybody else that's shown any kind of, have you polled all the officers?
The ones that wanted have expressed that interest, and it's the same. It doesn't just come, you can't just pick an officer, they have to have an interest.
Correct.
A lot of the ones that have interest are within 2 years. They haven't even gotten their noses wet on the streets to even know what they're doing with the canine. That's the reality I'm living. He deserves better, he does. He is one of mine.
What's the most senior officer that we have other than the lieutenants and the corporals?
We have Donald Lackey. He's been with us for 15 years.
Right.
Who is absolutely terrified of him.
Yeah, well, I already knew that. I already found that out.
We have Sergeant Alonzo and Sergeant Skurlock. Those are our tenure right now.
Okay, but I'm saying, no, the officers below them, the rank and file officers, your daily officers, who's the most senior of our patrol officers?
Just overall experience?
Yeah, on the street, here with us, yeah. Is it more than 2 years?
No. Nope.
I don't think there's anybody on patrol right now that has more than 2 years.
No, sir.
On the street. And there's two of us sitting here. I'm still a commissioned peace officer. I still work for a city, and I patrol that city. This gentleman to my left here patrolled this city and others. So we both speak from experience. 2 years on the street is nothing. And I don't mean that disrespectful to any man wearing a badge, but you're still learning.
Absolutely.
And to take that responsibility and then take on the dog, well, that's a lot. And again, I'm not telling you to make a decision. What I'm saying to you is, what, everybody's on their, what, they're not even advanced or intermediate certificates, are they?
They're still on their basic.
Okay, that, for folks, there's five levels of training. I am both. Cosmo Salazar and myself, we're master peace officers, and it takes over a couple of thousand hours of schooling plus patrol time on the job to get to a master's. It took me 12 years. I don't know how long it took, but you don't just go there. Meaning that you go to a lot of classes, a lot. Matter of fact, I'm getting ready to go to class because every 2 years I have to take 40 hours in service. So what I'm trying to say is I'm trying to get to the justification of what an officer has to do just for himself. And then to take on this responsibility is a lot. I would feel comfortable if we had an officer maybe with 5 years on the street. That would be a pretty good thing. But 2 years, these guys, they're still learning. So, I mean, I want y'all to think about that.
But we ain't have an officer yet with 5 years' experience to take care of Jake.
Well, we did before, the very first officer.
Murphy was fresh out of the box, too.
Murphy, I was 3 or 4 years in when he took him.
How long is the corporal on nights? He expressed interest, right?
Years.
Yeah.
Councilmember Street, would you like to speak?
Yes. Why can't we contract someone?
You can't do it.
Just for the police we can't contract?
To any city employee, period.
We contract our IT.
That is a person that's not employed directly by the city. Anybody employed directly by the city cannot be contracted. So you want to have a part-time policeman that is contracted by where? They got to have a commission from somewhere, and the commission comes directly from the city and us.
They have to hire the commission.
Right.
Wherever that agency is.
So that doesn't work.
Okay.
No.
I don't think it's fair to Jake to give him to someone and then have them dump on him again and have to go train with another one. And I think that is completely unfair to the dog, the officer, Jake. I don't want to see that happen to him over and over again. I think if we can find him another agency that has more experienced officers and he can have a better life and do what he's supposed to do and be happy in that, then I think that would be the better way to go. I don't want to see him go. We've got a lot of money invested in him, but that being said, I don't think we have the setup for him to have the kind of life he needs to have. Thank you.
We didn't have a setup for him when we got him.
No, we didn't.
Well, you learn the hard way. That's not, Mike, that's the bad thing.
Right.
Sometimes, you know, you think, you go for, well, let me put it this way. Had the initial officer, and, you know, I'm sorry to speak bad of an officer, had a little more initiative and not, and I'm going to say it, if he wants to sue me, he can sue me, okay? And not faked the training records didn't take the dog half the time to where he should go and do what he's supposed to do with him. And then, because of his social life,
personal,
he dropped the dog. Well, no,
I understand.
And that's what's wrong with it. That's what's wrong with the whole damn thing.
Let me just say, and I understand Councilman Gregg, you know, being upset, because we as police officers are expected to maintain our equipment and maintain our fellow officers. And Jake is a fellow officer.
Yes.
So when the officer assigned, you know, doesn't do what he's supposed to do, then they both become injured while on duty. And I've been, you know, I'm retired after 36, 37 years, and we've been around dogs almost my entire career. And for once, I agree with Susan Street that dog needs to be assigned to somebody who's going to be with him throughout his career, not just once a year changing a handler. And that dog right now, I can guarantee you, he's going to need more training than regularly training a dog, because he's been through 3 people already and has not done any work whatsoever. And as much as I hate to lose him, as much as hard work as Lisa, John, Kevin Boyce did, I understand that, you know, they don't want to lose him. And I understand you don't want to lose him. But at this point, this dog's degrading. And he's degrading right in front of us because we're thinking that we're going to have an officer experienced enough to handle these duties. And like Council Member Grant said, man, when you're in your first year, when you're in your second year of law enforcement, there's so much stuff coming at you. And then to throw this on top of that, you can't. You can't. So all I'm saying is that, you know, find a good agency that has a good officer. That of course, they're probably going to be paying more than we do. And like that, he can finish out his career with one officer, not continue to do what we're doing here.
What if LT takes on a dual responsibility?
No. You can't let her run an apartment.
So for me, from a personnel standpoint, if you all decide you want to keep this program, the only thing I could recommend is that Jake would have to go to the border, and we would have to post a position and hire a brand-new outside officer with some potentially some canine experience, who'd be willing to start from scratch and train for that program. I am not going to assign him to anybody currently in the Kirby Police Department.
Yeah, but the problem with that...
It's not feasible at this time.
I'm sorry. But the problem with that is, number one, we don't pay enough. And once that officer gets trained as a canine officer, he's going to go somewhere where they are paying him. That's what our problem is here.
Not only that, but if the lieutenant took the dog on, she had to go on patrol. Remember that? She'd have to work. Well, but the dog is not, that animal is not designed for daytime work. That dog is, main job is drug interdiction, okay? And there's a bunch of it does run up and down 78. I guarantee it's running right here in our city right now. But you can't expect someone to run a, 12-man department now? Or 10
well, not only that, but she's got administrative duties to handle. I mean, you know, there's no way.
I'm not asking the lieutenant to do it. I understand our officers are young. Everybody needs trained. They're going to be trained together. I think we need to give him another chance. I think we need to give an officer a chance.
Well, you got to have somebody that wants to take him. That's number one.
We've already given him three times.
Well, we had an officer that was willing to take him, right?
But from what LT just said, he said no.
He said no.
He said no.
Because he has to understand the commitment, and then he realized,
a stern talk. We had a real talk about what this dog means to us, ultimately, how he's affected by the constant change. That's what I'm looking at. I get that he's family here to this city. He's family to us. I've been spending more time with him in the last couple of days, okay? I would love to keep him if I knew that we could take care of him properly, but we can't.
And not only that, Councilman Martin, but the person that makes the decisions on personnel said no. She's not going to assign that dog to any officer. So that's it.
And at this point, he's gone through so many people. He's got to be retrained. How are we going to know if he does pass that?
I'd like to put something in perspective. He is considered a tool. He is a tool for law enforcement. Drug addiction starts with the human being and our experience. We learn that in time. We learn behavior. We learn psychology. We learn what to look for so that when someone says, I don't consent, and you know that he's lied and we've built something called reasonable suspicion to run him, it starts with the officer.
Right, I understand that.
So if we get him to a new officer who's barely learning this, we risk, ultimately, bad stops. Not knowledgeable enough to know the difference between probable cause and reasonable suspicion. This is learned through time, experience, knowledge, training, and there is no class in the world that's going to teach that to an officer immediately. Mistakes are made.
That's right. I understand that. That's how we started off, right?
I don't know. I wasn't here.
Councilman Martin, I will tell you this. I'm a certified field training officer. I have been for 20 years. In my department right now, I train all the officers. In fact, I'm just bringing on three. what she's talking about and street smart.
I understand what she's talking about.
Well, what I'm telling you is you don't understand street smart. You don't understand what it takes when you bring those people
and
you stop them.
But I'm seeing how we've operated over the last 3 years.
Well, in that, to that point, we don't want to operate like that.
Well, that's right,
because,
right.
I mean, two handlers. So my thing is, so I'm going to say this. So for Jake, of course we don't want to see him go, but it's not, I don't know, humane, I guess you can even say,
what I'm saying
to do
is,
this
do
to him, to give him to somebody else.
To him somewhere else.
What would it hurt if we put him in the kennel for 21 days and put the job app out there to try to get somebody? What would it hurt?
Him.
It's going to hurt him.
That's what will happen. If you all decide to continue that program,
I am
not going to allow her to continue to take him home. He is going to have to go to the company there and...
And
we will have to hire an officer. Who knows how that will work out. There's already additional compensation for this position because on top of Jake being the canine who is the partner to that officer, he also lives with them.
Right.
That person takes him home. He becomes a part of their family. They have to feed him, take him to his medical appointments, exercise him on top of their training. They go on vacation. They go on sick leave. Jake's still their responsibility. They don't get to just say, let me drop him off over here at, you know, Officer Seisenbach's house for the weekend because I'm going out of town. It does not work like that.
With
a canine officer. And we can't just kennel him up in the police department, you know, for a week while somebody goes on vacation. That becomes 100% their responsibility.
And
so there is no one, and I'm telling you again, in the Kirby Police Department currently that I am going to assign that responsibility to right now based on the circumstances and what I've experienced. He will go to the company. He will be boarded for those 20 days, and we will have to find him a suitable partner. And
we have to look in perspective of, for instance, myself. I have a good friend who just got finished doing the canine program for Lackland for the military. When he finally got his dog after months of training, it said that dog is going to be with him to the day he dies.
Mm-hmm.
So even when he retires, that dog is going to go home with him and stay with him. So that's what I'm saying. I mean, I understand that we don't want to see Jake go, but we're doing a disservice to him. It's not right. It's not fair. So my other question is, so let's say, obviously, because I'm against keeping Jake, not because I don't want him here, but just because it's not fair. What happens to him? Obviously, if this we say no, what happens to him?
So we would work with the company. They've already given us, you know, an agreement that we could sign to allow him to go there to be boarded, kind of through these fees, and they would work to find him an agency to transition to. And if they find him someone in the less than the 20 days, then you kind of go through the contractual negotiation. We pay less. If it takes longer, we pay more to keep him longer. But that's what they do. That's how we were able to secure him. This is, you know, that's what they do for a living. They train canine officers and help agencies find.
Well, the way current situations are, I'll see an agency picking up this animal quickly.
Oh, yes.
But they'll be able to have the funds, and the officer is going to be paid as a dog handler, and they don't have to worry about separating the two. Mm-hmm. And as much, like I said, and I agree with Tanisha, I hate to see the dog go, but, you know, all we're doing is destroying him just because we want to keep him, but yet cannot keep him as a city.
Okay, I will entertain a motion.
I'll go ahead and make a motion.
Hold
Mayor.
On, Salazar.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm going to make a motion.
I'm sorry?
I said I was going to make a motion.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Let's go.
Mayor, I was going to make a motion that we did like you asked. We keep him for 21 days. If we can't find no handler, nobody, then we let him go.
Well, it was 20, the program. 20.
But, okay. Oh, I can't say nothing.
Right. Oh. When we introduce the motion, you have to wait until after.
Oh, I have to wait after.
Because we're going to pay the $2,500 regardless.
Let's wait for a second. Hold on.
How long are we going to wait? I know something.
Okay, motion dies. Okay. Entertain motion?
Yes, ma'am. With a heavy heart, I make a motion that we put up that dog for the 20 days and have the company look for somebody that's willing to take him on and have a, that has the funds to be able to take care of him and his fellow officer, whoever they assign. I just make a motion that we go ahead and board him up and find somebody to come and get him.
So what's the difference in what should I make?
Because they can find it sooner than that. They can find it sooner than the 20 days.
Because aren't you saying you wanted the motion for the... for
the motion, up for 20 the motion, days.
But you wanted
point
to
of order. Point of order.
You got a motion on the floor, and I second it.
And
that
second.
Has to be recognized.
For discussion.
No.
No.
No. There is discussion.
Yes, there is.
Council members, please.
Here comes.
I have tried to be nice up to this point and to accommodate everybody. I understand this is an agenda item that, you know, is very emotional for all of us. Just be respectful of each other, okay? We do have a motion on the table by Councilmember Salazar to board Jake to find another agency to take him, and seconded by Councilmember Grant. Yes.
We just had class on Robert's Rules of Order today, and there is discussion after the second.
That's right. I said after
I
the second.
I understand that. And I just...
Okay.
Okay.
We just said it.
Yes. But I don't want... Thank you. I want us all to respect each other up here. We may not like each other, but we are here to do a job that we are elected to do. We are elected to serve our residents that voted us in these seats. Is there any more discussion on this issue?
So I have a question because I just want to, for some clarification purposes, I want to be clear on, is that motion saying that you do not want to continue the canine program in Kirby?
That's correct.
Okay, because for me, I feel like we need to be very clear, you know, not just saying we're going to board him until we find something. My thing is that means that we're either keeping the canine program in Kirby or we are doing away with
Madam
the canine
Mayor,
program.
Madam Mayor, go ahead
Kirby.
And let me amend that motion again. I make a motion that we allow the company to find another agency for our animal, and that we stop the K-9 program.
Second.
We have a motion on the table. Councilmember Salazar amending his motion to end our K-9 program and to find Jake a new home. Seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Grant. City Secretary, please call roll.
Councilmember Salazar?
Yes.
Councilmember Ryder?
Yes.
Councilmember Street?
Yes.
No.
Mayor Pro Tem Grant?
Mike. Yes.
Councilmember Apodaca?
Yes.
Councilmember Martin?
No.
He said no.
Mayor Aldrich?
Did you forget Councilmember Street?
Uh-huh. Oh, she wrote.
Oh, did you? Oh, sorry. My answer is no. The motion passes to end our canine program. 6B, discussion and possible action on proposed 2021 possible tax rate. We have not received the information from the county, so I would I'm asking for a motion to table this item. Postpone, sorry. Thank you. Postpone until we get the numbers.
It would be tabled to the next meeting.
They will have it?
They promised by early next week, so yes.
I make a motion we table.
Second. I have a motion on the table by Mayor Pro Tem Grant and Councilmember Salazar to table the discussion and possible action on proposed 2021 property tax rate. City Secretary, please call roll.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Councilmember Salazar?
Yes.
Councilmember Greider?
Yes.
Councilmember Street?
Yes.
Councilmember Martin?
Yes.
Mayor Aldridge?
Yes. 6C, discussion and direction on the proposed budget for fiscal year 2021-2022.
Okay, so you have several sheets, and we have the debt service proposed budget, the general fund proposed budget, and the water fund proposed budget. So these are just a first draft of a proposed budget. Since we do not have our tax rate yet, we cannot finalize, of course, what will go into the budget. So we anticipate on the 12th we'll be able to do both. But I wanted to go over several things with you based on some of the workshops that we've had and just on some of the capital requests from the different departments. So we're going to just start with the debt service just so that you can see. So the very top portion that talks about taxes, that has not been updated because, again, we don't have that information, so we don't know how much property taxes are anticipated to come in next fiscal year and how much of it will be allocated to the debt service. But at the bottom, under the expenditures, those numbers are updated, and this is to pay the debt service that's supporting our bond, our 2018 series bond for the Ackerman Road projects. So we make that payment twice a year, every March and every September. So it shows you the bond principal, that's the first payment, and the bond interest is your second payment, and then there's going to be $3,000 in there to pay the bond agent paying fee. So those are those numbers that we anticipate. We'll be able to fill it in, like I said, once we get the actual estimated taxes that are coming in.
So right now you're suggesting an $8,000 shortfall?
Right, but that's, again, based on what's listed now. It could be more taxes anticipated. Once we get those numbers, we don't know.
Does that include the wish list of the department heads?
No, sir. So this is just our debt service
just
that we're supporting.
Mm-hmm. And we're already at $8,000
short. That's all that's
short
in here is that the debt service that we're supporting.
Gotcha. Okay.
Any other questions on that?
But we can't do none until you get the other info.
Correct. Because it could very well be no, you know, deficit. We'll adjust that to make sure we're putting in enough to cover our debt payment.
Yeah.
Okay,
so this is not talking about $90,000 for the police department for the.
We'll get to that in the general fund.
No,
that was just the debt service.
We're trying to establish.
Yeah, that's just the debt that taxes are outright supporting.
Right.
And the only thing we have right now is the 2018 series bond for the Ackerman Road Street project.
Enough times. What I'm trying to get people to understand is that there'll be more added to the deficit based on these figures. So hopefully we're going to get a heck of a lot more in, or else we'll be at a very large deficit. And that's when you start going through this and taking things off.
Okay. Yes, sir.
So
okay, so then just
our debt is going to increase, is what
yes.
You're saying.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Well, the amount of debt that we took out, because we know we got a $6.8 million bond. So that was the overall debt spread out over 20 years.
Right.
So we know that each year it's going up a little bit because of the bond payment and the interest payment. So your debt service fund, we set that aside separately just to transfer in enough money from the taxes in the general fund to support that debt.
Right.
And then we start talking about the wish list.
Right. We're going to talk about the wish list next.
Right.
But I did want to make two notes to keep in mind. So the only other items that we have that you would consider debt are the two leases that we have.
Right.
So the 2016 Temco street sweeper that we leased will actually be paid off this year. It was a six-year lease. So our final payment will be September 15th of 2021, and then we will own that. So that's good. And then we have the 2016 Pierce fire pumper that we purchased, and we purchased that one for a 10-year lease.
Right.
And so it won't be paid off until September of 2024. But we're a little over halfway there on that one.
And there's another fire truck on the wish list, right?
That was on Chief Hill Burns' wish list, but that did not make the proposed budget.
Okay. Just checking.
All right, so we'll go to our general fund, and just it starts with the revenue section. Nothing has been, nothing's been changed on your property taxes or the amount of taxes owed to San Antonio. So that second number that you see under taxes says property taxes current COSA. That's the city of San Antonio annual tax payment that we're paying back for the boundary adjustment that we got in 2016.
Right.
And if you remember, that was a 15-year agreement that we will give them back half of the property taxes, franchise fees, and sales taxes for 15 years for acquiring that boundary.
And what year are we in?
So we made our first payment in 2017.
Second year, yeah.
So we've been paying 3 years, so far.
Yep.
All right. And then the only changes we made here in this area are the sales taxes. We increased that a little bit because looking at where we are current year, we're doing a little bit better with sales tax collections. So we anticipate that we can increase that to about $320,000 for next year. The one underneath that, the sales tax, is that HB 445. That's the 4-cent sales tax that goes directly to the street maintenance fund. And we had been allocating about $60,000 prior year. We moved that up to $70,000. And looking at current year to date, we're doing a little bit better. So we're comfortable with saying we expect about $80,000 to come in for that fund. And you'll be able to take that $80,000 and assign it specifically to a street project if you'd like, or we can assign it to, you know, one of the projects that we know we have to fund. We got the Alan Shepard CDBG money, so we have to pay our portion. We could just take that $80,000 and add it to that, or if you would prefer, again, we could do a much smaller project that's $80,000 or less. So we can talk about that when we get to the street fund. But those are the only changes there. We increased under the next section franchise fees, again, based on current amounts that are coming in. We're getting a little more CPS franchise fees and the cable TV franchise fees. We decreased the public utility right-of-way fees because I think it was the last legislative session capped the amount that municipalities can receive from those public right-of-way utilities, so that is going down significantly. And then the garbage franchise fees, it goes up and down, but we think an average of about $500 a year. And that's in our contract with Republic for a fee that they pay us back for driving on our streets, basically. Okay. In that next section, under licenses and fees, the only change made there was under park agreements. And that's because we have three annual leases for Friendship Park. One is with the GNL, one's with the Texas Spartans, and one's with the Amateur Softball League. So they were all paying $500 a year, but this last contract, the Softball League, is only using the fields one day a week, certain number of months, so council decreased their fee to $125 a year. So that's going to be the actual that we bring in this year, and next year is $1,125. Those are, again, the only changes made so far on revenues. Anybody have questions on that portion? Now, if you flip it over to your back page.
Hold on, Monique. I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Back on this first page down at the bottom for intergovernmental school crossing guard revenue.
Yes.
You want to know where that comes
from? Paid by Judson, is that why that's there?
Yeah, so actually it's money that comes to us because we have schools and we have a school crossing guard assigned to the elementary school, and it's based on the population of the students that attend the school. And so they send us a check every month. That's what we use to pay our part-time school crossing guard.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. So on the back, there are some additional revenues here. Slight change to the local municipal jury fund. That was something the state implemented, and we're getting about $50 a year on that fund. We get like a $2 here and there. So we just added a line item to take that revenue.
We're raking it in on that one.
Yeah. We zeroed out the ESD contract because, again, you know, we're separating from the ESD October 1, so we will not get any revenues from them. Under the grant, we've added the Alan Shepard $300,000 CDBG grant from Bexar County and decreased the LEOSI grant, which is a law enforcement grant. We average about $1,400 a year. And what we end up doing is when we get that amount of money, we'll increase it or decrease it. So like this year, you'll see it was at $1,630. That's what we actually got. So we increased it to reflect the actual amount. And then under miscellaneous, we decreased the interest revenue because what we're seeing is that when people are paying, you know, the credit card bills, its interest is going up and down, but it's significantly lower interest rates. So that's just a little bit more actual to
interest
what we anticipate.
What?
Credit cards.
Our credit cards?
Yeah.
I thought
this was all revenue. It is, and so it's a revenue that you get from the payment, and we have to separate it into an account, specifically the interest that comes off of it.
Someone makes their payment, and we get the
yes,
extra,
ma'am.
The extra 3%.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Any other questions on revenues? Okay. All right, so we'll go to the city council budget. Under expenditures, have not made any changes to that unless you all would like to request some changes there. It reflects, even though a few of you do not take your council stipend, we still leave in there the full amount as if all seven people take it, because in the event that there's a change in council, the next person could decide they want their fee. So we just want to have that money available. It also includes taxes. We have to cover council members' workers' comp. We actually have to cover all of our boards, commission, and committee members for workers' comp. So that's in there. And then your two major line items are your supplies for awards and miscellaneous expenses and your meetings and travel expenses. So we have been doing really well with those line items. Now, I will say for this fiscal year, we're probably going to be over budget for meetings and travel expenses, but it's because we had two elections in one fiscal year.
Right.
So I don't anticipate that being a problem next time unless something dramatic happens.
Well, yes, I got a quick question. I don't mean to stop you and back you up.
That's okay.
But I got a question on the last page.
Okay.
With the NSF check fees.
Mm-hmm.
What? It's only $200, but it's still $200 that I don't understand why we wrote checks. And what do we write them for?
So that's not
that's revenue.
Us.
Yeah.
That is when,
like if somebody pays their water bill and the check bounces.
Oh, okay.
We charge a fee.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I got you.
Yeah. And what we have to do is separate it. So like their water bill check bounce, okay. They have to come in and pay us cash. So if their water bill was $50, that goes in one account, and the insufficient fund fee goes in this account.
I got you.
Sir. No problem.
Yeah, we're on the minus side now, Mike. That was the plus side. Now we're on the minus side.
Yeah. Anything on the council items?
Yeah.
Okay. Moving on.
All right. So the next one is under city administration. And as we get into the departments, nothing has been changed under salaries and benefits in any department because, one, we haven't made a final decision on pay, and, two, we have not gotten our insurance bids. Those will be opened on the 19th of August. So once we get those numbers, we will update that for you. But if you start under contract services, that's the first changes that we made. Increase recruiting expense. That's the line item that pays for pre-employment testing. So when we send people for psychological testing in, you know, police and dispatch, when we send you to get your drug screening, your physical, and it's just been a little bit higher this year. We've had, you know, some additional turnover, so we're needing to increase that. The publication expense is typically about $10,000 a year. It was higher because, again, we had two elections and we had the charter election, so we paid a little bit more because you have to publish all of those things in the newspaper and in its totality. But we don't anticipate spending more than about $10,000. We didn't touch the economic development expense. They actually haven't really spent any money this year. The recodification is for the codes of ordinances. So our city secretary annually works with Muni Code to recodify all of our ordinances. So they'll update them in the online system. So that's what that goes toward. Web services, you'll see that we added the $3,000 that they quoted us to redesign the website. And they did say they would honor that $3,000. I did talk to them.
With all the bells and whistles.
Yes, ma'am. So the $1,500 covers, you know, the annual hosting and other updates, and then so that's why it's at $5,500. And then under training and travel expense and admin, we're increasing that slightly because we have six employees in the department, and really, this past year and even last year, there was really no travel-related training. Everything was either online or canceled, but things are going back in person, and we have three certified employees in the department that have to continue their education to maintain their certifications. And we did not change anything under membership expenses. Those are individual memberships that employees might have in that department.
Question. I'm sorry. Can you explain to me again what longevity means?
Right. So after an employee has been with the city for 12 months, then they qualify for longevity pay. And in some cities, they give you your longevity pay in every check. So you might get $1.25 added to your check. In Kirby, what we do is we pay it out in a lump sum. So we pay ours out, the policy says, between November 15th and December 15th of every year. So it's kind of like a holiday bonus is how employees see it. And that's based on the number of years you've been here. So in our personnel policy, it breaks it out. If you've been here 0 to 3 years, you get this percent of your salary as longevity. If you've been here 3 years to 5 years, you get this percent. So it goes up the longer you stay here.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Any other questions under city administration? Nope. Okay. So I'm going over to the police department. And the areas there just been some minor increases, like in operational supplies, special expenses. We added back money for crime prevention. And we increased in every department. You'll see we slightly increased fuel and lubricants because gas has been going up significantly, and we never really know, but we anticipate it's going to be a little bit higher.
That's the same. Uniforms went up.
Oh, you're right. I'm looking at the wrong line item. Yes, uniforms went up.
Oh, yeah.
You're
big
right.
Time.
You are right. And that one is because of the number of employees. So we just kind of looked at the number of employees there, the number of items they get, and we also have in our policy a boot and shoe allowance. So every employee annually gets $120 toward their work boots and shoes. So that's just to make it enough for the employees there. Building maintenance went down. It was a little higher this year because they did some additional work. I think they had an air conditioning unit that had to be replaced. So we're going back down to the original $12,000 budget amount. And in vehicle maintenance, we just added about $2,000. Most of our fleet is pretty good shape now. The only oldest vehicle we have now is actually the one Tahoe remaining, and that's the one that's outfitted for the K-9. So there are other vehicles pretty much now are more up to date. Radio access fees, we pay that to the city of San Antonio, and so we got the actual dollar amount that they're going to cost per radio. So that went down slightly. And for prisoners, we've been budgeting about $1,500 a year. We dropped that down to $5 this year because we didn't spend anything. So we just kind of went middle of the road. You never know how many prisoners you're going to get, but we figured that's a safe kind of middle of the road number. And then PD training and travel back down to what they started with this current fiscal year, which was $6,000. And I highlighted that last one under the canine officer because that was pending what happened with the program today. So we will zero that out if, in fact, we've already transitioned the program before the end of the fiscal year. And then under their capital outlay, the two major things the police department requested were the Symphony consoles, so you'll see $103,000 for that, and the Vistacom recorder, so you see $42,000 for that. Any questions on PD? Next page is the municipal court. It's pretty much the same. You'll see a slight difference in the computer software for court, and that's just they gave us the what the current price is going to be. So we just slightly increased that to the exact amount. And that is the only change.
Do you get new software every year?
No, but we have to pay for the continuation of software.
Okay.
Yes. No other fees change. We did just get a new prosecutor. He agreed to come on board making the same rate that we paid our previous prosecutor. So no other changes.
Oh.
Yes, ma'am.
Where does our city attorney fall on the budget?
You will see that under general operations.
Okay. We haven't gotten there yet.
No.
Okay.
All right. Anything on court? Okay. Fire department. So you'll see just a couple of changes under their supplies, $10,000 for operational supplies, which is actually what they started with for this year. We decreased it when we amended the budget just to kind of move around some other money that they needed. You'll see a change in uniforms. As you know, we're going to fewer employees. We're going to 15 hourly employees and a chief. Bunker gear, you'll see that slight decrease there. The problem with bunker gear is that it has to be outfitted, you know, specifically for the person. So we're going to be doing some inventory soon to see what bunker gear we need to purchase. But it had been running about $2,500 a set. That's still pretty accurate. Yeah. So we hope that will be enough to cover. When you get to their building maintenance, there is a slight increase there because they had some roof repairs that need to be made, and insurance denied those. So it was not weather-related, so we're putting into their building maintenance to get that taken care of. Increasing their equipment maintenance, that covers their generators, copy machine. I think that might be it. So that's going to take care of your building. They have generator in the building to be serviced. They also have them on the vehicles. So that would take care of maintenance and service for those.
You said the copy machine?
Yes, ma'am.
It's not leased?
It is leased, but we pay it out of equipment maintenance, just the line item that pays the bill.
Oh. Okay. Mm-hmm.
All right. Then under vehicle maintenance, they started off the year with $30,000. You see we've had to amend that twice because they had a lot of vehicle maintenance issues. But we are thinking about $35,000 will hopefully sustain us. And then under their software maintenance, currently we split costs for one of their programs with the ESD. But again, we're going to have to pay at full price, so that's why there's an increase there to be able to cover all of our software.
I thought we just voted on the software used for the...
That's the billing.
Reporting. Well,
okay. Oh, so that is for the EMS billing.
Right.
This software, they also have like a fire program software. They have another tracking software. So.
Okay.
No, because these aren't new. These are just continuing fees.
But didn't they
Oh, he had a training program, like a simulator training software on there for about $20,000 that he wanted. We did not put that on the, that didn't make it into the request. And we'll talk about why when we get down here. Their radio fees, same thing. We just updated that based on the actual dollar amount we have to pay per radio to San Antonio.
So that's separate from the police?
Yes. They have their own. So police has radios, fire has radios, and animal services. And each department, we put it into their own department budgets to pay their fees.
Okay.
Medical waste disposal, some slight increase there because that's just the costs are going up to be able to pay that. And then the fire pumper lease purchase has been updated to what the actual payment amount is going to be for next fiscal year. And then the interest on that lease for next fiscal year. The lease went up and the interest went down.
That works.
Yeah. and then their training and travel. Even though they have fewer employees, one of the things in a survey to the fire department was that they wanted additional training opportunities. So we were trying to accommodate that. There's some, you know, additional trainings that they need to be doing. We also want to potentially look at being able to get at least one internal person to be a certified fire inspector. Because right now we contract out our fire inspector services. If we could get somebody internal, that would save us some money. And then memberships, that's to cover, you know, the memberships that they have for their fire or TCFP and their EMS, right?
Correct.
Okay, so they have several memberships. And then under the capital request, it wasn't on the chief's wish list that night, but one of the things he had talked about was they want to replace their tough books.
Right.
And they want to get four tough books because they're, I think, old and outdated.
Four at 12,000?
Yes.
That's low, huh?
3,000 each?
Yeah, that's a low. So working with our IT consultants, we go through like a government bidding process. They think they may be able to get them less. I don't know. It's probably going to be more.
So we have an agency that bids this stuff out for us.
Yes, ma'am. Are you thinking that's low?
Kind of. But I just want you to be aware that no matter when these are ordered, it might be a year till you get them.
He did tell me that. He said 8 months to a year right now.
So I just placed an order, and well, we placed orders back in April, and they're telling us December.
Yeah.
So, and that's for my job where I work.
Yeah. And I know you never know. These are those Panasonic Tough Books. We did order one for the water department, and they had said it may take about 6 months, but we actually got it in about 6 weeks. So, yeah, we can hope for the best.
Some miracles do happen.
Yeah.
We'll take any and all.
But going back to Councilmember Martin, your question about that, the training system, and I think some CAD upgrades. So we had a meeting with dispatch and both chiefs, and that grant that we're getting from the for the police department, some of that CAD integration stuff, it's going to be included in there, and there'll be some things that fire can use through the dispatch. So that'll save us some money. Any other questions on fire?
Moving on.
Animal services, just a few changes, slight increase in medical supplies because, you know, same with the fire department for the humans. The medical supply costs are kind of going up for our animal services as well. Uniforms, because we have the two employees, looking at kind of split that cost down the middle is the average of what they need because they have to change clothes basically twice a day. They're wearing one thing when they're cleaning, and then when they go out in the field, they're changing. And then the building maintenance, about $10,000 is what they've been spending a year. We made the radio access fees accurate of what they'll cost. We increased the training and travel. This year, we were fortunate that we hosted the animal control officer training, so we didn't have to pay any travel fees. We now have a new employee who's going to have to go to training, and he will have to travel, so we increased that to cover his travel. And then the installation of the shelter building, we all agreed that we wanted to do that because we got the donated air condition, so it makes sense to insulate the building. So that's that $10,000. Questions on animal services?
Moving on.
Okay. In the Parks Department, you'll see minor changes. There's two employees assigned to Parks, so $1,300 is a year is actually what it comes out to for uniforms. So we just made that actual. There's an increase in park maintenance because that was to cover the painting of restrooms in Friendship Park. There needed to be some roof work, but we did get insurance picked up that claim. They said that was weather-related damage, so they are going to be covering about $2,500.
Praise Jesus, that's a miracle.
Yes.
Isn't it funny, though, how the weather moves around? It's just one building and goes
and
to
not
the next
the, yeah, so hey, we'll take it. And then we zeroed out the radio fee because they no longer have radios, but we are going to purchase the radios that Councilmember Salazar suggested that we can just purchase directly without paying any access fees. And that'll be covered under their operational fees in the water department. Pool management company, that's the actual amount in our contract. We budgeted $50,000 this year because we hadn't renewed the contract at the time. We didn't know what it was going to cost, so it's actually going down because it's $47,770 a year. And then it was a little too high to do the full.
Honey.
Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I just had a quick question for you. So we're going to budget this money, even though are we sure this pool is going to be open this coming year?
Yeah, unless decide to close the pool.
For $110,000 to fix it.
Yeah, it needs a lot of maintenance. I mean, the pool, it really needs to be replastered. It's, you know, with waste and water, it's a lot of repairs. I mean, we can keep it open and bare minimum and keep patching things. But we know right now it's not feasible to budget $110,000 to replaster it. But yeah. But we are in the contract through, I believe, November of 22 with the pool company. We can revisit that. I think when we get to the end of pool season, I'm going to bring you all a report on just what we've spent on maintenance, and maybe we can kind of talk about it.
We can always amend it.
Yes.
I just wanted to ask about it. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. And then I know Mr. Ives requested, I don't even remember how much it was, but he had a couple of options to do the entire road driving into Friendship Park and all of the parking lot areas. You remember how much that was? Okay, me either. But he said if we didn't get that, he would at least like to patch that parking lot area right next to the pavilion.
Yeah.
And so this $10,125 would cover doing that. We've done some of our own little patches, but this would be a better, you know, nice, smoother.
You know, I told you I wouldn't say this, but those potholes look like poo-poo-ca-choo, like a five-year-old filled those potholes. Our employees can do better.
Yes, ma'am. Any questions on parks?
Moving on.
Streets, our favorite. Okay. So, a couple of things. Uniforms, same thing with parks. There's two employees assigned to streets, so that's going down to the actual uniform amount. When you get under maintenance, we zeroed out the things we no longer need. The street department used to have the MyGov program that came out of there. We don't use that anymore. We now use Encode for all of our systems, so they don't pay any maintenance fees. It's covered out of other departments. And then they don't have radios. Yes, ma'am.
You said there's only two employees on the streets?
Mm-hmm.
So we're not counting what we might budget if we had a full crew.
No, so Public Works has 9 employees. This is the way they're divvied up. 2 are in parks, 2 are in streets, and 5 are in water. Just from a budgetary standpoint.
They're accounted for
money
wise.
They all overlap and do everything, yes.
Okay, I was like, wait a minute.
Yes.
We're not hoping?
No.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. And then going back to what I mentioned earlier, under that HB 445 for the street reconstruction, so I'd like some feedback on, you know, what would you all prefer? Would you want us to take that $80,000 toward the Alan Shepard project because we are getting $300,000 from the county, but our estimate is $624,000 for the whole project? Or do we want to take that $80,000 and try to do some smaller project from the assessment or another smaller project? I mean, I know we looked at the quote to do that intersection right there at Ackerman and Old Seguin. That's pretty bad. That was about $36,000.
Okay, so if we don't take this $80,000 and put it to Alan Shepard, how are we going to come up with that other money?
You still got to fund it.
Okay.
Yes.
That's what I was going to say. Exactly.
But I do agree that the intersection right here at Ackerman and Old Seguin, something's got to be done. Councilmember Martin.
Back on the Alan Shepard project, we had decided, right, to do a full reclamation of it. Since we only got half of it, maybe we need to change our mind about what we're going to do.
Yeah, and that was one of the questions that came up was, so the street assessment plan said only a portion of Alan Shepard, you know, was high priority, I'll say, a higher category. The other portion only needed a mill and overlay. But we said, since we're asking for the grant, let's just ask for the whole street.
Right, right.
Since we only got half, the question is, do we want to go back and only do the portion that is in worse condition and use all the money toward that and not worry about the other portion?
What if we did the full reconstruction on the part that needs it and mill and overlay for the rest?
It's still going to be more money than we have available.
Yeah, but it won't be $400,000 like it is now.
True. And then I don't know. Yeah, I guess you just would put the contract out like that. So, I mean, you could put it all toward a full reconstruction of the smaller section.
Well, the bad thing is then that the half that you don't do, they're going to be standing right there. See, that's the bad thing. We already have gone through that on this one street over here where that happened.
Kaysen.
Where they stopped, yes, Kaysen, where they stopped in the middle.
Yeah.
So,
and
you know,
Hickory,
that's
you know.
Why I suggested the mill and overlay over the rest.
Mm-hmm. I mean, but we don't have the money to cover that.
Yeah.
At addition.
I don't know how much that would cost, but I mean, it would be less than the $624,000,
but in reality, okay, so we just got $300,000 for CBG. I can't even say it, but you know what I mean.
Yes.
So then if we take this $80,000 on it, we're still going to have to come up with additional funds, correct?
Right. Yes, we do.
You got it.
Yeah. And really kind of the rationale for what we've been doing is breaking out one project in the budget for that so that the residents can understand that $80,000 that we brought in from that street maintenance tax went exactly to this project. So it's just been more of a visual thing. And because all the money always goes back into the streets, but, you know, for some, they feel like, well, you're not using it on the street unless I see, you know.
You mean it doesn't go into that secret account?
Yeah, not in the desk drawer or anywhere.
can we, will the engineer work with us and, okay, say the East End of Alan Shepard is in bad shape. It needs a full repair.
Yes.
And maybe a little bit on the north end, but the rest of it, do a mill and overlay. You know, that's going to save us some money. It's not going to.
Yes, we can.
But it looks like it's got a pretty good base there, you know, in the middle. So we shouldn't.
Well, you hear sometimes this happens. We get a bid out, and the same engineer gets 2. Because what happens is once they get all their equipment here, then we can do a little bit of working back and forth because they're already set up.
Yeah.
And sometimes, Mike, if we can just get lucky. And we've got some bids that are out that might dovetail. And if we do, then you can get a lot done.
Yeah.
Because the main thing is bringing it in and setting it up.
And company are we looking at to do this?
It's going to be
got to go out for bid.
Whoever you all, well, the engineers. Right now, we got the request for proposals out. Okay. Looking for city engineers right now.
That's what I'm asking.
Yeah. Those are due September 10th. So before this project gets started, you'd have current city engineers.
Okay, great. That's what I was asking. Thank you.
You know, and I understand that in life, we can't make everybody happy. You know, and I know that we have to pick and choose, and we have difficult decisions to make. And everybody knows, and you know especially, that the streets and these potholes are one of my main agendas. And I am all for fixing these streets with whatever we can pull together and do. I just wish that maybe we could find a contractor like our web designer that would love us a little bit more to give us some material. But I know that the world doesn't work that way. I just wish that we could split up that $80,000 and put it somewhere else into these streets to get, you know, some relief to these potholes, because this weather that we've had, I mean, I can't even drive down Diadem without swerving a pothole or swerving to miss a car because of a pothole.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and Diadem is not the only street that has multiple potholes. And I know that that material costs money to buy for our pothole truck.
Yep.
So,
I mean, and that's kind of what, for me, I mean, I want to advocate for that corner because that is bad. They're out there every couple of weeks repatching that old Keene and Ackerman.
Have we got a cost estimate on how much that would cost to repair?
$36,000.
Well, I think that we also should keep in mind, it's been brought up several times. Zipper, zipper, zipper machine. It's a solution, and it would save us money in the long run. So we really need to think about that. We really do need to think about that.
What about the other equipment that goes along with that? That's probably another $60,000 to $70,000 besides the zipper machine.
So if we, for instance, Alan Shepard, $624,000. Let's say, I know this is exempt for a grant, but let's just say, you know, $624,000 for Alan Shepard. If a zipper machine could do the same, we can make that cost in half. We would be saving money. That's what I'm saying. Like, we really need to think about that in the long run. But the reason why I'm saying this is because one thing the residents keep saying over and over again, before crime and anything, they talk about these streets. They stop me when I'm outside of my mailbox. When I'm getting out of my car in the driveway, one thing they always say to me, Dollar General store, what about the streets?
I get the same thing.
Exactly. So my thing is, we really need to, that zipper machine. I understand that all of us, as you were saying earlier, we're elected to do a job. We may not all agree, but we got to do what's best for the city. So we just need to really think about that in the long run. I just want everybody to rethink it.
But you got to remember what the payment was?
$42,000
for 5 years.
Okay.
And if we've already started with a shortfall, where are you going to get $42,000 to make an interest payment?
Well, that's where we got to decide what we're going to do, necessities or luxury. That's the main thing. I've talked to Monique about it. There's places that we have here that we're using for luxury, and we may just have, I hate to be the one to stop it, but if that's what it takes to get these streets fixed, there's what we got to do.
I'll tell you what, though, I'm not going to go through another year of not giving our employees at least a 2 or 3% raise. That's why we're losing people left and right.
Right.
See, it takes people to run this machine, and right now we're hunting for 4 of them, and that's just to take care of the city. And if you look at what's going out in overtime, you know, it's not a balance. When you get down to the nut cutting on this and you start having to pull these things out in order just to get even, you'll find out that it's
You're right. The first thing we need to do is hire people. That is the first thing we got to do. She's
advertising. They're not coming in.
Okay, let's get back on track, right, guys. So you want to know what we want to do with this $80,000?
Right.
Do we have to decide that now?
No.
No.
Okay.
You want to talk?
Okay.
But if I had anything, it would be Alan Shepard to fix that one in, because it is horrible. Sometimes you got to take and just, I mean.
Okay, moving on.
Sorry, Mike. All right. That's it on streets. Okay, we'll go to general operations. So, here in general operations, for operational supplies, we started off this year with $6,000. We increased it slightly. We're going back to the $6,000. Postage, this is going to be about $2,500 just based on what we've spent so far this year. So we increased that. Building maintenance is going down. It was a little higher this year because we did the floors here in the council chamber and the lobby. Then if you go down to your contract services, so these highlighted ones, this is where you see all of the folks that we contract out. So Councilmember Shute, you asked earlier. So this is where you'll find, you know, your auditor, your IT consultant, the city engineer. These folks are all here. So the first one, I don't have any change there. The IT company, I actually asked them to give me a new proposal because what we've been incurring lately is a lot of overages. And I think it was most especially due to during the pandemic, we were leaning on technology a little bit more, and everybody's not as tech savvy as we would like. So we were spending a little bit more. So they said if they give me a proposal that includes a little more time, it may come out cheaper in the long run rather than me going over budget. So I'll have a number for that by next meeting. Our vehicle and liability insurance, we get that from TML, so we do not know what that number is yet. But when we get that, that'll be updated. Legal fees, that's to pay the city attorney. We've been spending $25,000 to $30,000 a year on legal fees.
Is he on a retainer?
Not really.
Well, either is or.
So the because the charter says that was a change, and not this time, but the prior charter, that the city attorney is basically contracted by the council. The fee was the same for the city of Kirby since from 1989 to 2020.
Right.
And we're charging us 50% less than what they're charging all their other clients because of the longevity.
We're not going to touch that.
But they just went up. They did have no choice but to slightly go up in 2021.
But we're still under.
But we're still significantly lower than some of the other clients.
Kind of like an on-call thing.
Right. Yeah, we can spend as much as we choose. I mean,
we had a retainer and then additional fees on top of that.
Oh, yeah.
No.
So it's just their hourly rate, basically, and they charge based on the number of hours we use.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's like if we have our city attorney here for an agenda item,
and
I will always
hours.
Skip that to the front so we can get him out of here.
Yes. And then, you know, our engineer with the current one, we did a $20,000 a year task order, and that's for just small things, like when they review plans for new construction or, permit. Work, when they have to come out and do a field visit, that all comes under their task order. So we may not spend it all, but that was the max for the year. When they're working on specific projects, that comes out of the project line item.
Is he through a particular company or?
This is for M&S, our current city engineers.
So
if that changes.
Company, not an engineer.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
Correct.
All right. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. And then the auditor, it's probably going to be higher because we have, if you spend over $750,000 a year in federal funds, then you have to do a single audit.
Right.
And because we had the MPO grant and the CDBG grants, we will probably hit that. So they're going to give me a quote for the regular audit and the single audit. So that'll be maybe a couple of thousand dollars higher.
Is the ARP money going to affect that too?
Yes, it will.
Okay.
They did tell me that, yes. All right, so we just made our telephone and our mobile and air card line items a little more accurate. That's the only change there. And then down to election expense, we decreased that because, again, we had more money allocated when we did the two elections. And we did, you'll see under miscellaneous, it doesn't have a number yet, but we added American Rescue Plan Act because, and I didn't mention, we put that on the revenue side also in both water and general funds, so that when we do get that money, we can immediately add it to the budget. And that is it under general operations, unless y'all have any questions.
The transfers in lieu of taxes.
Okay. Yes. So that is money coming into the general fund from the water fund. And we had been, for the last few years, doing $480,000. You'll see that under the 1920 actual.
Right.
This was the first fiscal year we increased it to $600,000. And the reason for that is because there are some services and things that overlap from water to general. And so it's basically the water fund paying the general fund back for some of those overlapping services. For example, like the public works building. It's one building, but it's shared for the water department and the streets and parks. So, you know, there's some maintenance things that are coming out of the general fund budget, but water should be paying some of that back. So that's how we block that out. And what we do is we break out the $600,000 and we transfer a certain amount every month. Until we get to the $600,000, and we balance it out.
Moving on, questions?
Okay. All right, water fund, last one. And it's this front and back, one sheet there. So your first page is your revenues at the very top there. The only difference you're going to see is the interest income. Same thing we talked about, you know, credit card payments. It's going down, so we are decreasing that. That is interest income under miscellaneous.
Oh, thank you. It's not highlighted. That's
fine. Oh, okay, yeah, black and white. And then the only, again, nothing's been touched on salaries or benefits. When you get down to supplies, the water department's been spending a lot of money on operational supplies, a lot of things related to the freeze that they're still dealing with. So we're increasing that for them. And when you get down to uniforms, we made that more actual. And your the next one, small tools, decreased that one slightly. Flip it over to the back page. The equipment maintenance, there's a slight increase there, and that's just to keep up with them maintaining the equipment that they have in their department. And there's a decrease in your wells, pumps, and motors. It's actually back to $20,000, which we started this fiscal year with. Same thing with your sewer lines, manholes, and lift stations. That's just it was higher this year because they did some additional work, but we'll be back to about $15,000 a year just in, you know, regular expenditures there. And same thing with your water lines and mains. And then there's a slight increase in equipment rental for them to maybe be able to rent some additional items that they need to help them in the department. And then there's a change in the gym membership, and only because one of the benefits that we have is we will pay half of a Gold's Gym membership for employees. Most of the employees are in the general fund, but you do have your water fund employees. So if they choose to take the gym membership, we just need to show it coming out of the water fund because they are water paid out of the water fund. Nothing else changed under contract services. If you go down to training and travel, they started the year with $6,000. We decreased that in the last amendment just because they hadn't really gone anywhere and we haven't really had enough employees to go anywhere. We anticipate being full staff, so they'll need all of their training and their related travel. Under bad debt, What that is, you know, we have the company MVBA who collects delinquent water accounts, and so when they, when those payments go out to them, the company's portion is coming out of that bad debt expense. But it's a very small fee.
So those are the guys that collect the bad debts?
Yes. And then our depreciation, we've just been noticing over the last few years that it's been higher. If you look at the 1920 actual, it was $286,859, and we've been keeping it at $200, so we just are increasing that to $250 to be a little bit closer, and those numbers come out of the audit. And then if you go down to the capital outlay, the only capital outlay listed for water next year under well 3 repairs is that $15,580. That was for the sediment repairs that TCEQ recommended, or I say recommended, require. More or less.
Way past recommendation, more like that you will.
Yes, so we have to do that. And then the Ackerman sewer, you'll see the $185,000 because that's what you approved in the Ackerman plans. And the road part is paid out of our bond, but the sewer is not, so we needed to show that in the water fund. And then you'll see the Gaiety zeroed out because we agreed that we will hold that off for the American Rescue Plan money. And then the generator, that $14,000 is to be able to get that generator that would power the public works and the animal shelter facilities. That is it for them.
When we were discussing, I don't remember now what we were discussing last time, and Mr. Ives reminded us that TCEQ is going to require those
fire hydrants.
They're not on here.
Right, because I thought that I heard us say we were going to use American Rescue money for that,
well,
too.
Well, I was hoping that we could do that, so.
Yes, so I did not put them there, but.
Okay.
Do we have time frame on that?
We haven't told them we don't have them yet.
Like they didn't say, hey, you have to have these by December 1st.
They should have been in place already. So if they walk in tomorrow, we could face sanctions.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Any other questions on water? Are there any items or areas you did not see or you have a question about? Okay. So, again, what will happen is when we meet on the 12th, we'll have another budget discussion. You'll be able to select your tax rate, and we'll be able to fill those areas in and build a better budget. We'll also have run the numbers on pay, so I'll bring you that information as well. So we can get to a final product on the 26th of August. We will have a public hearing on the budget for the residents, and then you will vote on your first and second readings of the budget in September. That's the plan.
Okay.
All right. That is all I have.
All right. Moving on. Number 7. Adjourned.
Number 7.
Huh?
Number 7.